Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is God's word. You may be seated.
We've entered the season of Advent, and last week we started in Psalm chapter 2, one of the royal psalms in our Bible, looking at the authority and sovereignty of the one to whom God the Father would say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." It reminded us of the infinite glory and power and sovereign rule of the Son of God, whose reign was, remember, his coronation was that moment of his resurrection when he was publicly anointed for all the world to see as the one true king. So last week we looked at the exalted glory of God. In theological terms, we talk about this as the transcendence of God, that he is infinitely exalted beyond even our understanding, that he is infinitely glorious, infinitely powerful, infinitely beyond our reach, transcendent. But at the same time, we believe in the immanence of our God, that our God did not remain distant from us and inaccessible, but he came near to us. And so we see the authority and sovereignty of God in Psalm 2, and today we will look at his wonderful, loving, shepherding presence with us in Psalm 23. You see how we hold these two realities together, that our God is both infinitely glorious and infinitely and wonderfully present with us. My family was at family camp in Michigan a few years ago, and we heard speaker and apologist Josh McDowell, and he asked the question, what is love? We're going to talk about the love of God as shepherding love in Psalm 23. What is love? If you were going to define it right now and sketch it out, and would you be able to, in just a few words, and clearly express? Our culture today is very confused about love, and mainly defines love as a feeling that you can come into and out of, right? And define love mainly as what you get from someone instead of what you give to them. So it's very important to have a clear understanding and a definition of love. Here's what Josh McDowell did. He summed it up very memorably for us in just two words. Love protects and provides. Love protects and provides. And he draws that from Ephesians chapter 5 when Paul is writing about marriage. He says, "No one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does for the church." That's a picture and a calling for us as married men to nourish and cherish our wives within the church, to protect and provide for each other, just as Christ has protected us and who provides wonderful blessings for us. That's what we'll see in this passage in Psalm 23, that God demonstrates his love for us, his perfect love in both protection and provision. So think about that, the relevance of a definition of love. Young ladies, you hear those words. If a young man dares come to you and say he loves you, be sure that he means this, that he's committed to your protection, to what is going to be best for your well-being, that he doesn't really mean he wants to use you for his own ends, but that he wants to protect you and provide what is best for you. Guys, if you dare to say, many of you are sitting next to one that you dare to say that you love, be sure that this is what you mean when you say that. You are committed to her protection. You are committed to providing for her needs at the cost of sacrificing your own. Parents, we say that we love our kids, but are we committed to really protecting them? This is a world that is filled with dangers. Do we deliberately and intentionally protect them from those dangers? Do we provide for them the things that they really need, like our time, our attention, instruction in God's word? All of us here today, Christian believers, do we protect each other? Do we truly love each other and guard the flock here at Oakwood? Do we provide for each other? Can we honestly say that we sacrifice our own desires and concerns for the needs of others? This is what our God has done for us in Christ as the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Here's the overview. Today, God demonstrates his love for us and his protection, so we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. He demonstrates his love for us in his provision, so that we can truly say, I shall not want. There is nothing that we need that he has not given us. And he does all of this for us perfectly in Christ. Jesus says that in John 10. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So first, let's look at the protecting love of God. The Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23 says, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, we know this is written by King David, who learned how to lead. The greatest king of Israel learned about leadership first as a shepherd, taking care of sheep. And we know it was the least important job in the family because he had seven older brothers. And when Samuel the prophet came over, the seven brothers were there in the house. The least important brother was out doing the least important job, taking care of the sheep. But God used that task as a young man to prepare David to learn what it means to lead, to be a sacrificial servant leader who understands what it is to protect the flock and provide for them. The Bible often compares us to sheep, which is not intended to be a compliment. Sheep are actually some of the very dumbest animals that there are. Don't think of them as dogs. Dogs are very intelligent compared to sheep. Sheep desperately need a shepherd. They are so prone to just wander off. They won't even stay with the flock. They just wander off on their own, even right into danger. They are tremendously vulnerable. They have no defense mechanism of their own. They can't run very fast. They have nothing to protect them. So they desperately need a shepherd to protect them, to lead them, to show them where to go, and to bring them back when they do stray. And therefore, it is a very accurate picture of us, isn't it? We all, like sheep, have gone astray. But our good shepherd protects us both from the enemies inside of us and the enemies outside of us. So look first at how he protects us from the enemies that live in our own hearts, the enemies of distraction and deception. It says, you lead me. He leads me in paths of righteousness. This is what we need as sheep who so quickly go astray. We need a shepherd who will lead us, who will show us the way that we should go. Now, we're not familiar with shepherding in the old sense. We're more like, probably when we think of shepherding, we think more of like driving cattle. And that's a very different kind of leadership. Cowboys with a herd of cattle lead from behind, and they have whips and dogs, and they force the herd forward from behind out of fear. That's not how a shepherd works with sheep. A shepherd leads from in front and calls the sheep to follow him, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A shepherd with a flock of sheep would have a distinctive call, some sound he would make or a whistle, and the sheep all knew, no matter how far they'd gone, if they heard that sound, they would come because that was their shepherd, and they would come to his voice. Jesus said that, my sheep know my voice. They hear me when I call to them. So that's the question for us today. Psalm 23 reminds us that our God is a good shepherd who leads us. Do we know his voice? Do we listen when he calls to us? We are so prone to wander. We are so quickly distracted, so easily led astray into temptation and into danger. And our shepherd calls us. The Holy Spirit leads us. Do we know his voice? Are we quick to respond to him? When we hear that familiar call, do we come and fall in line behind our good shepherd? He leads us in paths of righteousness. He's leading us in ways that will make us more like him. This was Jesus' primary call. Come, follow me. Walk with me. I will show you the way you should go. And of course, he's given us his Holy Spirit, to lead us and correct us when we stray and call us back to that path of righteousness, that we might be more and more like him and that we might increasingly reflect his glory, because he leads us for his own name's sake. He protects us from distraction, keeps us from straying, and calls us back when we do. He also protects us from disobedience. The shepherd carried two tools. One was a rod, a short club-like thing that he could use against predators. We'll talk about that in a minute. The other was a long staff that he carried that had multiple uses. And this is how he would correct a sheep that began to wander out of line. If the whole flock was going one way and another sheep wandered off, he could use his long staff to reach out and guide that sheep back in, or even give it a little whack in the legs to correct it and bring it back. How often do we need that from the Lord? We've been wandering away, and we feel that little conviction of the Spirit as a little whack from our shepherd to say, come back in line in the way that you should go. Sheep are prone to bite each other. Think of this. In the jostle of a herd, they can get irritated with each other and bite each other, and the shepherd would use his long staff to separate them and drive them apart from me, move them apart from each other. And sheep, of course, when they do wander off, can sometimes get stuck. And so that long staff had a crook at the end of it so he could lift them up and draw them out of a ditch they'd fallen into, or pull them out of a thorn bush. How often do we get stuck in our sin and our distraction, our waywardness? A lot of my insights today are from a great little book called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm by a man named Philip Keller, who actually was a shepherd for many years. And so he writes both biblically insightful, but also practically about what it is to be a shepherd. And that's where a lot of these thoughts come from. And he wrote about when a sheep gets heavy with wool, it becomes very top heavy and can fall over more easily. And then if a sheep falls over that's heavy with wool, it's unable to actually get up. And the more it struggles, the more its legs go vertical. And so the more it struggles, the more trouble it gets into, and they can actually get into a panic and suffocate themselves. Now, what a picture is that? Again, not a flattering idea that we are sheep, right? But our sin can grow on us like wool, grow heavy upon us, and make it so we are unstable, and we can stumble and we can fall. And haven't you experienced that? That sometimes the more you try to fix that problem yourself, the more trouble you get in. But isn't it wonderfully good news that we have a good shepherd who hears us when we cry out to him, who knows the trouble we're in, but he waits for us to call out for help, and then he's right there with his staff to pick us up and to help us trim off that wool of our sin. He protects us from both our distraction and our disobedience. And those are just the internal enemies. Think of the external enemies, the enemies around us that he protects us from. It says, he leads me beside still waters. Again, sheep are very vulnerable, and one of the biggest dangers for them is fast-moving water. A shepherd has to be very concerned about the pace of the water he leads them to, because in their thirst, they'll run down into water and just get swept right away in the current. And if they do that, they're very bad swimmers and they can easily drown. And our shepherd leads us to quiet waters, to safe places where we can be refreshed in all that we need. He protects us from all kinds of dangers. He protects us with, that's what that tool, the rod, was for, was a form of protection. There were lots of different animals that would threaten sheep in the Middle East. David talked about fighting against both wolves and lions and bears and having slain all of those. We know that's how he learned to use his sling and stone that would come in handy later in his life, was by protecting the sheep. And the Lord protects us from many, many dangers in this life, both things that we know of and things that we don't realize how much he protects us. But we also know he does not protect us from every danger. We live in a fallen world, in a broken world, and oftentimes things do happen to us, and we are exposed to dangers and trials and tribulations. We're not protected from every danger, but we know that God limits our suffering, that he controls it and directs it according to his purposes. A verse that we should all know as followers of Jesus is 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to men. No temptation. Same word there means trial or tribulation. You are not going through any trial, any challenge, any suffering that is not common to what other people experience in the world. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted or tried beyond your own ability. But with that temptation, he will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. That's an important verse that reminds us God knows what we can handle. And he only allows into our lives the kind of suffering and trials and tribulation that will grow us and not that will break us. He limits it. He controls it. He directs it. And he uses even our deepest suffering to shape us more and more into his image and make us more and more dependent on him. Jesus told us, in this world, you will have trouble. Same word, trials, tribulation. You will go through tribulation. But he said, take heart, I have overcome the world. In fact, we can rejoice in our sufferings because we know that our suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. So our good shepherd protects us from dangers and limits and controls the other trials that we are called to endure. He also protects us from deception. He leads us beside still waters. And even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we need not fear evil, because we know our shepherd is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us with his presence. The devil is pictured in Scripture as a roaring lion, prowling around looking for those he can devour. Now that is, again, not a flattering picture. The devil as a powerful lion and us as very vulnerable sheep with no ability to defend ourselves. But we know that our good shepherd has a rod in his hand that he can protect us, and he does protect us with. Now, we know in other cultures, the devil's activity is much more visible. If you ever go to Africa or parts of Asia, you'll see that the devil's work is very visible, and they have witch doctors, and they worship Satan overtly, and they see things that we don't see. The devil in our culture has chosen a more subtle approach, where his favorite trick is to convince the world he doesn't even exist. So there is an enemy who is at work against us, and he is prowling around seeking who he can devour. But he is usually not very visible and overt. And so everywhere in the world, his strategy is deception. His native language is to deceive and to manipulate. And he'll do that through fear of something that's visible or through very subtle forms of deception and trickery. But this we know, in the darkness and confusion of this world, God has given us the light of his word. Passages like this one in Psalm 23 that we can hold on to even when we are the most confused. Let the light of Scripture shine into the darkness of your confusion and hold on to what you know. The Lord is with you even in the darkest valleys. When you're fearful, come to these passages that speak directly to your fear. When life seems unstable, come to the things that you know are most sure and hold on to them and remember that God is holding on to you. And another reminder, since we are sheep, is that we need each other. We hold on to these truths best when we are together in relationship with each other. Predators always look for the lone animal that has wandered from the herd. And we are very vulnerable when we stray from community. This is especially true of young people. Very common strategy of the enemy. Get them off to college, away and alone. Put them with a group of non-believers, and the devil can take them away. Young people, when you go off to a new situation, a new city or a new school, the first priority should be finding a group of Christian believers that you can walk with and stand with as part of your protection. Let's not neglect this just because we're older in the Lord. We still need that fellowship around us, that protection that comes with intentional biblical Christian community. The Lord protects us from danger. He protects us from the deception and attacks of the enemy. And the ultimate enemy that the Lord protects us from is death itself. And we know that in this life, we will still walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Our loved ones will die. Our friends will die. Eventually, each one of us will face death very personally, inevitably. But we have this promise that when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we need not fear evil because we know our shepherd is with us walking through those darkest times. And we have this promise in verse 6 that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever with him. And we know this because our Lord Jesus stepped into the darkness himself, went all the way into the darkness of death, and came out victorious on the other side. That is our ultimate hope, that he is with us in the pain of this life because he endured everything that we've endured. He's been tempted in every way as we are, and he went all the way to the cross for us, and he defeated sin and death forever. And therefore, we have that hope that he can protect us from sin and death forever. You see how the Lord demonstrates his love and his protection for us? And then we see how he also loves us in his provision for us. We can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There is nothing that we lack, nothing that we need that God has not provided for us. Four gifts that God gives us in his provision for us. The first one is the gift of rest. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, sheep are, again, not very intelligent. Even after they've walked all day long, they will not lie down unless certain conditions are satisfied. If they're hungry, they won't lie down. If they're hurting or injured in any way, they won't lie down, even though that would be the best thing for them. If they're fearful of anything around them, they won't lie down. So for a shepherd to make a sheep lie down, he has to first satisfy these conditions so that they will be willing to lie down. And of course, we know that sometimes, even then, when all these conditions are satisfied, we still won't lie down, and that's when our shepherd picks us up and carries us through the darkest, most difficult times. One of the darkest moments, probably the darkest moment in my pastoral ministry, came 2 years ago, right around this time 2 years ago. We got a phone call that there had been a hunting accident. A father and two sons were out hunting, and they were separated from each other, and through a tragic misunderstanding, miscommunication, and accident, the one brother shot the other brother and killed him instantly. This phone call comes in, and I always happened to be the pastor that was closest and available, and so I went and met up. Thankfully, this family had been a part of a small group for 25 years, and so I met six members of the small group in the driveway of this house, and we prayed together that the Lord would be there with us and intervene in this poor woman's in her heart right then. And we went up and knocked on her door, and when the door opened, she saw her friends. Her face lit up. She thought it was a surprise social call, but then she saw me. And she knew something must have happened. And I'll never forget these words. Imagine these words echoing in the entryway of your house. There's been an accident. It's your son. I'm so sorry he didn't make it. And in that moment of utter shock, where you can see it can't be, and she's crying out and she's wailing, and she just collapses to the ground right in the entryway and next to the dining room. And it was one of those, the wail of a mother having lost her child. Like there's nothing else like that you can even imagine as you think about that. And it was just the darkest pit of pain that I've ever seen in the face of a person. But as she collapsed to the ground, immediately these four women went to the ground with her. And as she's weeping and wailing, they lift their voices up and their tears are right there with her, and they're on the ground in this heap of arms and legs and tears. And so in the darkest moment, to me, it was one of the most beautiful moments of the shepherding love of God being made very tangible to a woman in pain. This is one of those times, and sometimes we experience this when God is most present for us in those moments of deepest pain, when we feel that, when we shouldn't be able to lie down. We shouldn't be able to rest, but he gives us this peace that passes understanding, and he surrounds us with his love in such very real and practical ways. He makes me lie down in green pastures. There is a peace that only God can give, and often we feel that in those very darkest of moments. God gives us that gift of rest. He also gives us gifts of refreshment and restoration. He leads us to green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul, preparing a table before us. God is concerned both with your physical and with your spiritual needs. That's what this psalm shows us, is he's concerned with both. He understands we need food and water. He understands we need to be safe from our enemies. But he above all understands that our deepest need is at the level of our soul. What we really need deep down is to have our soul restored within us. God is concerned with your physical needs. He's concerned with what's going on in your life. And it is so fitting and appropriate that as we pause at mealtimes and at bedtimes, as we get up in the morning, that we give God thanks for all of the good things that he has given us. Because everything we have is a gift from our good shepherd. If you have a house that you live in, if you have food to eat, if you have clothes to wear, if you have a job to go to, if you have friends and family around you, all these things are good gifts from God to you as your good shepherd. That he is concerned with you to lead you to green pastures, to bring you to still waters, to prepare a table before you. And it is right and good that we give him thanks for those things. But above all, we praise the one, the only one who can restore our souls. Only God can do that work deep in our hearts. There's no vacation you can go on, no spa treatment, no therapist, no doctor, no item you can purchase that can restore your soul. Only the good shepherd can do that work. David says, "You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows." There's a picture of the healing work of the shepherd. He would use oil much like we use Neosporin today. It was an ointment to heal little scratches from abrasions that sheep would get. But we know that oil in Scripture is a picture of the Holy Spirit and how the Lord gives us his Holy Spirit to heal us inside and give us new desires and new love so that we can truly say, "My cup overflows." And we know that all of these gifts from God, rest and refreshment, restoration of our soul, they come along with relationship with him. Ultimately, we don't fear and we have everything we need because we know this word from God that I am with you, even in the darkest valleys. You need not fear evil, for we know the Lord is with me. And we have this promise of all of eternity that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever, knowing that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Now, all these things bound up in relationship with God, and we know that relationship with God is only possible through his son, Jesus Christ. So Jesus said in John 10, he said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." With God, it's an all or nothing situation. You can't have some of the blessings of God without having all of them. You are either in a right relationship with God, protected from both enemies inside and out, having the rest that comes from relationship with him, having your soul restored. You either have all of that because you have Jesus, or you have none of that. There's not a middle ground where you sort of have a little bit of God's blessing. You see that? Because all the blessings are wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. The one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son of God does not have life. In Christ, there's no condemnation. In Christ, we have every spiritual blessing. Outside of Christ, there is no protection. There is no provision. There is no rest. There is no restoration of soul. All of that comes in Christ and only in Christ. He is the good shepherd. Everyone else in your life cannot play that role. When it comes down to it, they cannot protect you from the greatest enemies out there. They cannot provide for you what your soul really needs. Only Jesus is the good shepherd who can take care of you completely. And when Jesus faced the ultimate enemy, which was death, the enemy, that great executioner that had taken down millions upon millions, even billions of people before him, Jesus did not back away, did not hesitate, did not run off. He went toe-to-toe, face-to-face with death itself and entered into death for us. Think about the moment of Jesus' death as the ultimate Trojan horse maneuver. In the package of his humanity, think of what Jesus smuggled into the realm of death. Only because he was human could he die. But in that human body, he brought in two things: perfect righteousness and full divinity. Perfect righteousness that satisfied the law of God. Full divinity that meant his sacrifice has infinite value to pay for our sin. Death is the greatest enemy. It is the ultimate enemy, the last one to be defeated. But the two weapons that death wields against all people are sin and the law. Jesus, through his sacrifice, through that Trojan horse maneuver, disarmed death. satisfied the righteous requirements of the law, and paid the full price for your sin and mine. Do we still face death? Yes, we do. In this life, we still will go through death, but it is an enemy that has no weapons. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us we can actually mock death. Say, where, O death, is your sting? There is no fear for the Christian in death because sin is no longer a fear for us and the law has been satisfied. Jesus, the fully human Son of Man, became a representative and substitute for all of mankind. And because he lived a life of perfect righteousness, he satisfied the law of God completely. And because he was fully divine, infinitely divine, eternally Son of God, his sacrifice covered the sins of the whole world. Jesus defeated sin and death forever. This is what we celebrate at Christmas time. Think about coming back to this picture of the transcendence and the immanence of Jesus, the infinitely glorious one. Eternally existing in loving union with the Father and the Spirit, the creator of all things, is the Son of Man who came. The eternal Son of God became the human Son of Man. The one who spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light, was for a season confined as a human embryo. The ruler over all things, the one through whom, who upholds all things with the word of his power, was for a time a helpless baby lying in a manger. The one who spoke all wisdom into being, who spoke scripture through the prophets and the apostles, the embodiment of all wisdom, had to learn how to talk, had to learn his ABCs, his Aleph, Bates, and Gimels. He had to learn just like us. He was weak. He got sick. The good shepherd who is with his people throughout all time became the Lamb of God so he could take away the sin of the world. This is what we celebrate at Christmas time. Our infinitely glorious King became our perfectly loving shepherd. And we saw that his resurrection was the moment of his divine anointing, the moment of his coronation as the public acknowledgement, this is the King. The resurrected one, exalted back to his heavenly glory. And so in Christ, we have complete protection. In Christ, we have eternal provision. Listen again to Psalm 23 and see how this is so perfectly fulfilled and ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. All of our needs met in the person and work of Jesus Christ, our good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. He leads us beside still waters and gives us the living water of his Holy Spirit. He restores our soul. Only Jesus can do that work. We need not fear evil because we know he is with us even to the very end of the age. He anoints us with his Holy Spirit so we can truly say, my cup overflows. And we have this promise from him that we will dwell in his house forever and ever and ever. He is the only one who can protect us from the enemies inside of us and the ones who are outside of us. The only one who can give us rest and physical refreshment and spiritual restoration. He's the only one who can bring us into a right relationship with God the Father so we can be with him forever. Only in Christ our good shepherd do we have the perfect love of God, his protection, his provision for us. Praise the Lord for this wonderful reminder of God's great love for us. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the good shepherd, that there is nothing we lack. There is nothing else we need because you have given us everything in your Son. Lord Jesus, we praise you as the King who reigns forever and ever. We bow our hearts before you because you are glorious beyond imagination. And Lord, we praise you that you came into a world of darkness and sin and pain, and you gave yourself up into death that you might disarm that enemy. You satisfied the law. You paid for sin completely. And so in you, we have complete protection. There is nothing we need to fear. No weapon formed against us can prosper. Nothing can separate us from the love of the Father because of you, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you've given us every spiritual blessing. Forgive us, Lord, for how we are like sheep who go astray. May we listen to your voice and come back when you call us. And even now, as we come to your table to feed on that gift of your sacrifice, remind us anew of your infinite mercy and grace for us. In Jesus' name, amen.